Coverage begins at 7, right here with Eau Claire Hometown Media and 93.5. Schomer, a righty, his first free throw on the way, and got it. 14-13 left in regulation. Prescott leads by 2. They haven't put the point on the board yet. Should be 33-31 Prescott. There we go. And he made them both, did Schomer. 3-point lead for Prescott at 34-31. Altoona now has Levi Day out there. Camistral stays out there along with Sinet. Gunderson and Hibbard seeing a lot of time today is Hunter Hibbard. Camistral curls in the lane. Takes on two defenders. Leans in. Puts up a shot off the window. No. Rebound to Kyle Kogan for Prescott. Schomer slows things down right sideline for Prescott. Got into the right corner to Leakes. Underneath Kogan, being double-teamed. Now leaves a guy open. He finds him outside. The three by Barrett Temmers is good. Barrett Temmers has 6 points in the second half, and it's a 6-point lead for Prescott at 37-31. Sinet throwing it to the right sideline for Gunnarsson for three. They needed it. No. Long rebound. Kicks all the way out to midcourt. Hunter Hibbert hustles to track it down for Altoona, and Altoona will get another chance to paint with the paintbrush. Here's Camistral for three, top of the key, halfway in, and it pops out, no good. Rebound Prescott. Like happened in the first game, Camistral having a tough shooting night against Prescott. Schomer at the right block, his shot, horseshoes out, no. Ball then tied up on the ensuing rebound. It'll stay with Altoona on the arrow. So Altoona will get the ball. Down by 6, their largest deficit of the game with 12:59 to play in the second half. Altoona's had a slow start out of the dressing room in this second half. Again, Camistral's been limited to just 6 points in this game for Altoona. That's a big factor. High out to the left. There's Gunderson to Sinet, right wing. Levi Day at the right baseline. Dribbles out to the free throw line. Altoona trying to find some openings here. Sinet, left wing, pump fakes. Gets into the paint. Then had the ball knocked out of his hands, but there's Day to pick it up and throws it back outside again. Great defense here from Prescott. Hibbert at the left block, at the left wing. He caught the ball, hesitated, and traveled. Prescott ball leading by 6 and a chance to really put some separation between them and Altoona. Remember, Prescott is doing this without a guy who averages 20 points and 10 rebounds a game for them. Prescott ball. Barrett Temmers high out of the left. Temmers averages just 5 points a game today. He's got 12. Leakes high out right. To Monteith at the free throw extend. Takes the jumper. Day came out to meet him. Went for the block, and they're going to call Day on the foul. They're going to get Day for hitting the wrist. And that'll send Max Monteith to the line, where he'll shoot a couple. Yeah, first free throw splashes that one in. Mentioned that it's Valentine's Day in a couple of days. February in a couple of days. It's Valentine's Day in just 2 weeks. Of course, I know a lot of guys out there are probably like me. You're waiting until Thursday, Friday to make those Valentine's purchases so you can put it towards your February budget. You know, a smart person with their budgeting, their personal budgeting, they treat it like a business budget as well. And you try to roll over the cost of different months. By the way, Max Monteith made both free throws, and the lead is at 8 for Prescott. Altoona needs points. We said before, scoring is usually not their problem. They've struggled, though, here in the opening 6-plus minutes of the second half. Sinet can't drive in. Gets it to Camistral at the free throw line. Jump shot, front rim, no. Offensive rebound, Day. The putback spins on the front rim and then falls on through. Again, though, Camistral had an opportunity there in that he just doesn't have the feel at the moment. Prescott basketball, Temmers, right side, floats a pass out to midcourt for Max Monteith. Prescott Ball leading by six. Into the lane. Here's Schomer. Floats it in with the right hand. He fought that ball free on a double team as he got the ball on the pass and was able to muscle his way up and float it in for two. Back to an 8-point lead for Prescott with 10:45 to play in the second half. Sinette into the lane. Outside to Day, left side. Top of the key to Gunderson for three. Bottoms! Owen Gunderson, a big three for Altoona. He's got 6 points. And the lead trimmed to five for Prescott. Now what Altoona needs is to get that comeback lasagna going. Scores and stops layered together. Make it all tasty. Temmer stops the free throw line. Swings it to the right wing. A three on the way off the mark by Ian Lease. And the rebound, Altoona. So Altoona gets the stop. Now can they get another score? Ball walked up the floor by Gunderson. Knee-high dribble with the left hand, then picks up the dribble. Chest pass to Day, left side. Nobody guarding him there, but he doesn't like to take those threes. Right side, back to Gunderson. Kogan guarding him. Left side to Sinette. Takes the three. Bottoms! Miles Sinette is up to 12 points in the game, and the lead down the two for Prescott. Back-to-back threes, and Altoona has skipped their way. Back to within smelling distance of Prescott. Monteith, right baseline for Prescott. Fires a pass underneath to Kogan and scores with the left hand as he got bumped in midair. He was looking for the foul, didn't get it, but he still scored. And then a timeout taken by Prescott. 9:30 to play in regulation. Prescott leads 43-39. Back right after this, high school basketball from Eau Claire Hometown Media and 93.5 The Tap.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
to play in regulation from Altoona High School. Scott Montesano with you on a lovely Tuesday night. Prescott, the Middle Border Conference leaders, well, co-leaders. Altoona, middle of the pack. Altoona trying to pick up one of their biggest wins since they joined the Middle Border Conference. Prescott, though, leads by four. It's Altoona ball. And as Altoona sets up on offense here, a foul away from the ball, an offensive foul on Altoona. We'll give the ball back to Prescott. Prescott has had a lead as big as eight here in the second half. Right now they lead by four and they're about to get the ball again. Temmers, a huge shooting night for Prescott. That's even with three fouls in the first half. Temmers has it right side for Prescott. They fire a pass underneath, got to Monteith. Monteith off the glass, no. Then trying to swing in for the rebound was Mason Schomer, but the ball goes off the palm and across the baseline out of bounds, and it's Altoona ball. So Altoona with the basketball down by four. Student body opposite of us, a lot of clenched jowls opposite of us. A little bit of nerves, a score here will loosen them up. Sinette takes on three defenders as he drives underneath, tough shot. That one hits off the back rim. Rebound back to Prescott. They try to score down to the right. Stepping into a three, leaks from the right wing. That's an air ball. Ball goes to the near sideline. And they're going to get a foul on Mason Schomer of Prescott as he was going for the loose ball. Leaks took the three from the far sideline. It was an air ball. The rebound was coming all the way to the near side, down to our right by the Prescott bench. And they get Schomer on a foul, which will be his third personal, team second. Altoona ball down by four, 8:30 and bleeding in the second half. Day high out right to Gunderson, top of the key. Nowhere to go, though, is Kyle Coogan all over him like a full-body deodorant. Sinette, right sideline, steps into a three, too strong, rebound to Russell. And Kobe Russell will dribble it up the floor for Prescott. Russell, left-hand dribble, picks it up. He gets double-teamed, finds a safety valve, and Temmers. Deep three up top, halfway in, no. Offensive rebound, Kogan, the putback with the left-hand scores. Kyle Coogan, at only 5'10", was like the smallest dog fighting his way to the feeding dish. 6-point lead for Prescott. Ah, Day from the right baseline, a good feed underneath. Found Sinet, but Sinet had the ball knocked away from him at the last second, and Prescott the ball. Temmers a three, right wing, front rim, back rim, no. Offensive rebound, Coogan, left hand shot, scores again. Kyle Coogan, again at only 5'10", will not be denied, and a timeout taken by Altoona. Prescott's regained that 8-point lead. 47-39, 7:24 to play in regulation. Back right after this, high school basketball from Eau Claire Hometown Media and 93.5 The Tap.
Eau Claire Hometown Media is where the Chippewa Valley comes to talk. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify and have local podcasts come right to you every single day. Eau Claire Hometown Media features Banker with a Beer, Dose of Dog, Talk of the Town, and many other popular local podcasts. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify today.
Kyle Coogan might not be the biggest guy out there at only 5'10", but he's playing the role of Danny DeVito, if you will. He might not be the star, but he's stealing all of the scenes. 7:24 to play in the second half, and because of the offensive rebounding of Coogan recently, Prescott has regained that 8-point lead, 47-39. Prescott, it's Altoona ball coming out of their timeout. Altoona led 27-25 coming into the second half after a first half in which neither team had huge leads. It was mostly a one-possession game the entire first half. But here in the second half, it's been a different story. Altoona ball attacking the hoop down to our left. They have yet to be able to get Keaton Camistral going in this game. Just 6 points, all of them coming in the first half. Left side, Radcliffe takes a three. That's too strong off the heel. And the rebound to Prescott. And Prescott a chance to make it a double-figure lead. Coogan high out right. Altoona's going to have to rely on their defense right now to keep them in this game. Temmers floats a pass to Russell. At the left side of the lane. Dribbles a couple times with the right hand. Throws it outside, then gets it back at the free throw line. Hands it off to Leakes, who's fouled on the drive. That'll be the fifth foul on Altoona. They're going to get the freshman Owen Gunderson, which will be his first. Altoona's been so close to taking down the top teams in the conference. Two losses this year to Osceola by the narrowest of margins. And they lost to this Prescott team in Prescott in December in a tight one. Temmers for three, left side, count it. Barrett Temmers again hits a three for Prescott. What a night for him. Averages just over 5 points a game. But without Dallas Wallen today, he has been a big star offensively. Drive for Altoona, Day can't score. Altoona gets the offensive rebound. A three by Gunderson, left corner, got it. Owen Gunderson hits a big three for Altoona. The lead back down to eight after it was briefly 11 for Prescott. Prescott runs the floor. Schomer gets it left block and he'll score. Prescott's offense has really come to life in the second half. Altoona's been unable to slow them down at all, and that coupled with the fact that Altoona's offense has gone into the tank has not been a good combination if they were to try to pull off this upset bid. 10-point lead for Prescott with 5:45 to go. A.J. Lemberg trying to drive on in, got fouled. Is that going to be on Temmers? If they get on Temmers, that's going to be his fourth. Yeah, that'll be his fourth. Temmers tonight, though, unofficially, I've got him, let's see here. I've unofficially got him for 15 points in this game. He'll take a seat on the bench, though. He's done this in limited action as he's been fighting foul trouble all game. He had three fouls about midway through the first half and now picks up his fourth with 5:40 and counting to go. 10-point lead for Prescott. Altoona ball as they attack the hoop down to our left. Ball thrown underneath. They got it to Lemberg. Lemberg can't get the layup to fall. It's been just that type of night for Altoona. It's been the type of night where there's been it's been true false all night long, and they've always been guessing wrong. The other way, Prescott does not score. Altoona gets the ball back. Ball thrown ahead here and knocked out of bounds by Monty for Prescott into the Altoona student body. That'll allow everybody to reset. But it's been a difficult shooting night for Altoona. The type of night where they keep getting lost on a one-way street. They've had a lot of good looks offensively, but the ball is not wanting to go in for them. Camistra powers way underneath with the right hand off the glass. He'll score. Keaton Camistral's got his first 2 points of the second half. Usually averages more than 22 points a game, but tonight just 8 points. Prescott breaks the full court press, got it to Kogan, who's, they're going to call him for a travel. He got a hip check, and they're going to call him for a travel, not a foul. So it's an 8-point lead for Prescott at 52-44, 4:45 to go, and we'll see if Altoona has one last spurt in him. Scores and stops. High out to the left side. Now Camistral drives underneath. Tough shot with the right hand. Halfway in. It starts to pop out. Then it gets pulled on through. So we got the shooter's roll right there to Camistral. And the lead down to 6. Prescott again breaks the full court press. Schomer drives underneath. Puts it off the front rim. No offensive rebound by Gunderson. And Altoona right to left. Down by 6. Gunderson wiggles his way underneath. Ball comes out of his hands. It was raked out of his hands, though, as it goes across the baseline. And it will stay with Altoona down to our left. Neither team in the bonus yet in terms of fouls. Both teams have a couple of timeouts left as well. Camistral, free throw line, jump shot. Front rim, no. And the rebound to Schomer. Oh, stolen away in the backcourt, though, by Gunderson. And he'll score off the glass from the right block. Gunderson picked the pocket of Schomer. And it's a 4-point lead for Prescott. Kogan runs up the floor. Timeout taken by Prescott as Kogan gets to midcourt. Prescott calls a timeout. 3:54 to go. Prescott leads Altoona 52-48. Back with the finish right after this from Eau Claire Hometown Media and 93.5 The Tap.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Final 3:54 of this ball game. Prescott, the co-leader in the Middle Border Conference, trying to hold off Altoona. Prescott leads 52-48. Prescott ball as they attack the hoop down to our right. They've led by as many as 11 in this second half, but Altoona trying to rally back for one of their biggest wins in the last few years under fifth-year head coach Paul Heinrichs. Prescott ball, Monty from the lane with the left hand, leans in, no, with the shot, and the rebound to Altoona. Rebound by Ethan Michaels. Altoona ball now. Michaels has it right side. Takes the three off the rim. No. And then they get Michaels on the foul as he was going for the rebound. His belly went into the butt of Max Monteith. That'll be Michaels's. That'll be his first team's sixth foul. Ethan Michaels, by the way, a sophomore called up from the JV team, seeing time. So it's Prescott ball in the backcourt, full court press. Lisek has it for Prescott, dribbles away from Gunderson, throws up the floor to Temmers, back into the game, got into the right corner to Russell, a backbreaking three, no off the rim, rebound to Gunderson, who's having a great game on the glass. He'll dribble up the floor. Gunderson, all the way into the lane. Gunderson, off the glass, hangs on the back rim and leaks off, no good. But Owen Gunderson, who is automatic at the line, will go to the charity stripe with his team down by 4 and 3:04 to go. Gunderson, the freshman's got 11 points in this game. The lefty's first shot, too strong off the back, heeled up. Hey, folks, don't forget to check out our full sports schedule by visiting the echometownradio.com website. Links to not only upcoming games, but also audio and video highlights of prior games as well at echometownradio.com. Gunderson makes one of the two free throws. Then Prescott breaks the full court press. It's led ahead to Max Monteith, and Monteith will score on the layup. 54-49 Prescott. 5-point lead for Prescott. 2:45 to go. Altoona ball down by five. Michaels, top of the key. Dribbles once, picks up the dribble. Right sideline, Gunderson. Gunderson to Camistral, right side. Wanted to take a three, but there was a player right on top of him again. That was Russell, who's been sticking to him all game long like a banana peel. Ah, cross-court pass by Camistral out of the reach of Lemberg, thrown away into the Altoona bench. And the turnover will give the ball back to Prescott, and a chance for Prescott. We have 2:20 to go to begin to salt this one away. Temmers high out right with it. Prescott will be more than happy to bleed some time off the clock. Weeks drives in, then throws it to the left corner. Monteith takes the three, got it. Max Monteith, a left corner three for Prescott. They lead by eight with 1:56 to go. Gunderson drives, kicks into the left corner to Michaels. And then outside again to Gunderson. Altoona, the same issue they had against Prescott the first time. Keaton Camistral, an outstanding scorer, has struggled today. Camistral tries to take on two defenders underneath. He gets a wild shot up, it's no good. And then back in midcourt, they're going to get a foul on Altoona's A.J. Lember. That'll be the seventh team foul, and Prescott will go to the line shooting a 1-1. That'll be Kyle Kogan. A tough second half for the Altoona Railroaders, who look like they will drop consecutive games, and it looks like they'll see a four-game winning streak at home come to an end as Kogan makes the first free throw and earns himself another one. Again, though, for Altoona, the issue was uncharacteristically their offense just not there for them today as they are again down by 10. That was the key in the second half, just could not score, and the Prescott offense can only be held back for so long. What is concerning for Altoona, what's probably frustrating for Altoona, is Keaton Camistral is going to go to the line to shoot a pair here, is they are most likely going to lose this game, even though they have the benefit of Prescott being without their standout in Dallas Wallen. And just one of those nights there for the young man, Keaton Camistral. He misses the first free throw. He's just had one of those nights. Overall, one of the better players in Western Wisconsin is Keaton Camistral, who was honored before the game for getting to the 1,000-point mark. But just one of those tough games that game gets over with. You go home, you get some food in the belly, you wake up, go to school tomorrow, and you do it all over again. Just a tough night for him shooting. Final minute of this one, by the way. Altoona's down by 9. They force a turnover at midcourt as Altoona, but a lead feed ahead is out of the reach of Gunderson. Good hustle by Gunderson to save the ball at the baseline, but as he throws it back in the play, it's into the hands of a Prescott player, a foul, and Kyle Kogan's going to go the other way, shooting a 1-1. 56 seconds left in this one. Well, again, we'll have more high school basketball coverage on Thursday night. Eau Claire North home against Menominee as the free throw is off the mark by Kogan. Rebound to Altoona. 50 seconds to go. Deep three by Gunderson, left wing. No, long rebound to the corner will bounce out of bounds. Paul Hendricks had taken up residency in the corner where that ball was coming, and as Gunderson was hustling on in there, the two of them for a moment and lined each other up for a big collision, and at the last moment, Hendricks was able to get out of the way and just sort of catch his young ball player. Final 40 seconds of this, and Altoona, they're going to get Lenberg on a foul here. They reached in and fouled Barrett Temmers. Now, Temmers is the young guy who really stepped up tonight for Prescott when he had to. A bunch of huge threes in this game. 15 points by my count for a guy who usually averages just 5 a game. First free throw on the 1-1 is good, so he's now got 16 in the ball game. Now we'll get ready to go into that cold night. Of course, it's all relative, but a cold night, even though it's still been a mild January. Ball's thrown away here by Altoona. It's going to stay Altoona ball that was knocked away by a Prescott player. 36 seconds left. Prescott leads 61-50. Camistral takes a three up top. That one rattles on in, so Keaton Camistral buries a three ball. That is going to give Camistral 15 points in the ball game, and then Altoona is going to call timeout. 61-53. Prescott leads by 8 with 31 seconds to go. So Camistral statistically is getting up there, but he'd be the first one to say just not one of his better nights. Well, Prescott will hold serve atop the Middle Border Conference. Meanwhile, for Altoona, they'll dip below 500 both in conference and overall with 3 weeks left to go in the regular season. Before you get to the seeding and all of that jazz. These are, by the way, two schools that could face each other and have in the postseason, both being at the Division III level. Prescott's on their way to defeating Altoona for the sixth consecutive time, but Altoona in their history has had some success against Prescott. But since Prescott and Altoona have become Middle Borders Conference foes a couple of years ago, Prescott has yet to lose to Altoona. Altoona will set up a full court press. And the ball thrown in the midcourt to Kyle Kogan. He'll bring it across the midcourt stripe, and he got whacked by Ethan Michaels. That'll be the 10th foul on Altoona. And it will send Michaels to the line. Breadbasket's empty. We're just waiting for the check to arrive. At this point, Prescott up by 8 points. Biggest lead for either team in the first half was 4. Prescott had a 4-point lead briefly in the first half. But then here in the second half, they early on opened up a 6-point lead, then they got it up to 8 points. A couple of times, Altoona brought the lead down to a single possession again as Kogi makes 1 of 2 free throws. But Prescott always had the big answer. Gunnarsson, a 10-foot jumper from the left side off the mark. Rebound to Prescott. Ball comes free. Diving on the deck portal on the far side was Lemberg. Ball again comes loose, and we're going to get a foul with 12 seconds to go. A foul on Altoona. Or are they going to call foul? No, they're going to say the ball got out of the hands of Max Montief of Prescott, and they're going to grant Prescott a timeout. Well, you, one thing you like to see if you're Altoona, you're on the verge of losing this game, but there's A.J. Lemberg still diving on the floor into for Prescott as well, a game that right now is in their back pocket, and you still got guys tussling for loose balls on the ground when very easily they could just be milking out the clock. So Prescott calls a timeout with 12 seconds left, leading by 9. We'll see if Paul Heinrich still has his team fouling. No doubt he's going to try to draw something up here to get a steal. Guys can get live game reps on a play they work on in practice. But the question is, if you don't get the steal, do you tell everybody to relax the muscles, or do you foul again? Prescott shooting 2 free throws the rest of the way. Neither team really emptied the bench. Neither team has huge benches, but you haven't seen the teams empty the bench with the JV call-ups necessarily here in the last minute of this game. Ball will be thrown in by Prescott on the backcourt. Ball thrown in. Temmers gets it back, and then he's fouled by Cavastrell. So he threw it in to Leakes, who got it right back to him, and then he's fouled with 9 seconds left. So a chance for Temmers to add to this outstanding night that he has had. And the first free throw is good. Twelve points in the second half, 18 for the game. Make it 19 for the game, perfect at the line. Final 9 seconds, Camistral will yo-yo the ball up the floor, got it ahead to Gunderson. 3 seconds left, Gunderson right side, takes a three, no good. Offensive rebound by Lemberg as he tries to go for the right hand. It's blocked by Russell, and that's how this one will end. The Prescott Cardinals defeat the Altoona Railroaders by a final score of 64-53. Back to put this game into a neat little package right after this. You're listening to high school basketball coverage from Eau Claire Hometown Media and 93.5 The Tap.
Stay tuned for tonight's post-game closer, a recap of tonight's game, and a look around other area action on 93.5 The Tap and the Civic Media app.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back one final time to Altoona High School, where the Prescott Cardinals use a strong second half to pull away from the Altoona Railroaders, and Prescott wins by the final score of 64-53. Prescott got the offense going in the second half, and Altoona had a tough shooting night for Keaton Camistro, who statistically still got to 15 points, but it was a tough 15 points for him to get to, and he'd be, again, the first one to tell you he had some open looks for big shots in this game that could have really turned momentum that typically he makes. And this just was not his evening. Altoona got some big buckets by the likes of Owen Gunderson and Miles Sinnett in the first half in particular, but again, could not keep pace with this Prescott Cardinals team, who took control of this game within the first few minutes of the second half. And while Altoona had a couple of bursts in them in the second half, Prescott always had the answer and had this game in full control for the final 3 minutes of it. Altoona actually had a 27-25 lead at the break. First half, both teams were no further than an arm's distance from each other. A tight first half. Altoona had the lead, but in the second half, Prescott began the second half on a 7-0 scoring run to take a 5-point lead, and that set the tone for the rest of that second half. Altoona really struggled to score the first few minutes of the second half. That coupled with the fact that the Altoona defense can only do so much to try to hold back this Prescott offense, and eventually Prescott was able to build the lead up to 6 points, got it up to 8 points a few times, built it up to 11 points. The first time Prescott built it to 11, Altoona had a spurt, brought it all the way back down to a single possession game, but that was as close as they would get. Prescott built the lead back up, and that was all she wrote in this one. Prescott without the double-double machine, Dallas Wallen, no problems. Barrett Temmers stepped up with one of his biggest nights he's had as a junior, 19 points in the ball game. Kyle Colgan was outstanding, 13 points. The 5'10 guard was frustratingly good on the offensive glass. He had that streak, he had that segment there in the second half on two or three consecutive possessions where he got offensive rebounds. As I said before, like Danny DeVito, all right, might be short, but steals the scenes. You could not take your eyes off of Kyle Colgan. Huge. And again, finishes with 13 points, and Max Monteith had 10. As for Altoona, Keaton Camistral did get the 15 points, 12 for the freshman Owen Gunderson, 11 for Miles Sinnett. Prescott with the win improves to 13-5, 9-1 in the conference. Meanwhile, Altoona is 9-8 overall. They are now, they are 8-9 overall. They are 5-6 in the Middle Border Conference. Well, that'll wrap it up for us here tonight from Altoona High School. Don't forget our next coverage of high school basketball, 93.5 The Tap and Eau Claire Hometown Media is this Thursday. We'll have Eau Claire North boys basketball against Menominee. North versus Menominee on Thursday night. Coverage begins at 7 right back here. Well, again, that'll do it for us here tonight. Prescott defeats Altoona by the final score of 64-53. On behalf of everyone who made this broadcast possible, I'm Scott Montesano saying there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Make sure to take advantage of it. And until Thursday night, so long, everybody.
The best place to go for the best local content is echometownradio.com. There you'll find dozens of local podcasts covering everything from news to sports to dogs and even beer. echometownradio.com is the place to hear from people right here in the Chippewa Valley talk about what matters to you. New podcasts dropping daily. That's echometownradio.com. And look for them on Spotify. Eau Claire Hometown Media is where the Chippewa Valley comes to talk. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify and have local podcasts come right to you every single day. Eau Claire Hometown Media features Banker with a Beer, Dose of Dog, Talk of the Town, and many other popular local podcasts. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify today.
At first, I was like, what the hell's going on here? Was there a big street fight that I didn't know about? But
did I miss a street fight?
Yeah. Turns out it's like the number one place for hair transplants.
Oh, really?
Around the world. So people come from around the world to get hair transplants in Istanbul. So you walk around downtown Istanbul and it's just guys with head bandages all over the place.
Lots of plugs.
Yeah, a lot of them.
That's pretty cool. What's the weather like in Croatia, though? Is that... If I'm going anywhere, if I'm leaving Wisconsin, which doesn't look
again,
like,
it's Mediterranean, so it's beautiful. You know, it's just right across. It's right next to Italy, and you're right on the sea there, and it's gorgeous.
So I don't know if you heard this, Mike. 20 years from now, supposedly the number one place to live in the world, given climate change, will be Michigan. honest to God, I read, I think it was in the New York Times.
I've heard these things, yeah, about fresh water.
Right, and it's a beautiful state to begin with. Their coast is great.
Yeah.
On all around the state. It's a big state. There's hills. It's very beautiful. I feel like we're next in line. Wisconsin, we're very similar to Michigan. Climate, sure. We've got fresh water. But 20 years from now, I'm going to be 141. I don't know if I want to wait that. No. Have you heard that? It's like, because we have fresh water here. I mean, we have to protect it. The PFAS are an issue in the Midwest. But, yeah, that could be kind of cool.
I have heard that. And Minnesota as well.
Yeah.
People are going up there. It's going to be interesting to see how it's going to change. You're already finding people that, you know, in places like Palm Springs, where I know your parents go to a lot.
Yeah.
You know, the summers, it's just getting hotter and hotter and hotter. We worry about fires out here. You remember?
Sure.
California. Now there's a whole fire season. It wasn't too bad this year, but it's bad. I had friends who live in Sonoma up in wine country, and they finally had to leave because they were tired of evacuating for like either smoke or actual fire came right to their door. Good so they're Lord. Just like, after a couple of years of that, she was just like, nope, I'm done.
Wow. But, well,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just heard the weather before I got on here, and it was going to be, what, 45 this week?
With the amount of days it's been 40 in January in Northeast Wisconsin is a little scary. I'm soaking it up, loving it. There's nothing I can do to change it, so I'm going to enjoy it. But it is a little scary.
Right.
You know.
Is there snow on the ground there now?
There is, just only because about 3 weeks ago we got a really huge storm. But a lot of it's gone. I mean, it's been pretty crazy. And Minnesota is nice, but they're a bunch of copycatters. They like to do whatever Wisconsin does. So we don't.
Well, we noticed the difference in our lifetime, right? I mean,
Sure.
I grew up in Chicago, and I remember them snow being on the ground at least like all winter long, at least, you know, in different levels, but there was always something on the ground. And now I've gone back in February the last 10 years or so and nothing on the ground. And it's still cold, but it just, you know, maybe get a snow and then it melts away within a week. And it's very strange. I had friends with snowmobiles and they finally got rid of them after a while because weren't using them.
Yeah, it's strange. I've noticed just since I've been back here 12 years ago, came back and it was frigid. There's a certain amount of time in January and February where it's like 0, 10. Those were the highs. And I said to my parents, was it always this cold? Like, I don't remember it being this cold. And they said, yeah. So I had been gone for, 15 years or whatever, and I got used to it when I got back. But that was just 12 years ago. I don't think we've had a winter like that in 6 or 7 years. So it's changed just in the last decade, I would say.
No, I've been scuba diving for the last 30 years, and what I've seen around the world are the reefs. It's sad. It's really sad. So, like, a lot of my new travels coming up, you know, in the last few years have been about kind of like seeing nature when I could, because I've seen a lot of it disappear, the reefs bleaching and that kind of stuff. So, you know, the water temperature's rising a little bit, it just throws the whole ecosystem off. So it's just, it's kind of sad, but see nature while you can, Pete.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
No, I will. My guest is Mike Siegel. He is the host of What You Get for the Money, If Walls Could Talk. He hosted Movie Break on TBS. There's pretty much not a show he hasn't hosted. So where would you go, Mike? You've been all over the place. I've seen the map you have in your office with all the thumbtacks you have all over the world. And I'm like, you don't even, where haven't you been and where do you want to go?
I still have about right before COVID, I had about a dirty dozen list of countries that I still haven't been to. Egypt is a big one that I still haven't been to. Egypt and Morocco. And then the Galapagos, as one of your
nice Conrad
fans mentioned. Yeah, that's a tough one to get to. So I've always wanted to go there. I had never been to mainland China. I've always wanted to see it, but I've been to like Hong Kong and Taiwan, which is kind of like China light, but it's not actual the mainland China. And, you know, Russia was on that list, but it's looked like that's going to have to wait for a while.
Yeah.
As is a lot of stuff in the Middle East, you know, Egypt might have to wait a little bit. The Red Sea is not really one of the places I'm looking to go to at the moment.
Right.
you know, and I always tell people, it's just like, look, the first time I left the country was in 89 and I went to Europe. And at that time there was two Germanys, there was a Yugoslavia, a Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
I went through the Berlin Wall at Checkpoint Charlie. You know, things change quick. You know, people think it was so long ago, but it's not. So And there's a couple of countries there like Myanmar that I've always wanted to go to that was only really open for like a short window. And I missed that window for a couple of years. They were opening up to tourists. And now like the military junta kind of took it back and it's closed again. But I've heard amazing things about it. But I've just, you know, you just never know. So if that was, and I went to Cuba when it was a little easier to get to. Oh, I still nice. Snuck in.
You took a boat to Cuba.
Yeah, well, I had to like fly in through Cancun. You didn't hear this from me, though.
No.
Like a...
Conrad, we're recording this, right? Take a moment.
Right. But it was fascinating. Cuba is like really fascinating.
It's funny. You use the word junta, which is spelled J-U-N-T-A. And I remember a classmate of mine in high school was reading and he said junta because he missed the lesson the day before where the rest of us learned how to pronounce it.
Oh, was, so it was it, who's Jeff Bezos' wife now?
Was
it Lauren Sanchez?
Yeah, Lauren Sanchez.
Okay. Was it you that you were telling me you were watching when she was on the news out here? She said Marine Corps.
I think that's true. I forgot. Yeah, come on. Maybe she meant corporations or she thought that's what she, I don't know. Yeah. That's hilarious. So tell people how they can find Travel Tales, the podcast.
We're on wherever you get your podcasts, and I'm at Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram. It's probably the best way to find us, but wherever you get your podcasts, you know, listen up and sign up. We have new guests all the time. We got to get you back on there to talk Wisconsin, buddy.
Yeah, I've been three places, Chicago, Wisconsin, and LA. I've been all over America, but I haven't. Oh, in Montreal. I was in Montreal and Winnipeg. I was supposed to go to British Columbia once, but that got canceled, but Montreal was about as international as I got, I guess.
I love Montreal. Vancouver is one of my favorite cities in North America. Vancouver's great. And I just went to Montreal. That was another one that was on my list. I had never been to Toronto.
Really?
Up until a few months ago.
Oh,
it's like the biggest city in Canada. I've been to like all around the Maritime Islands. I've been to like Prince Edward Island. I've been to Halifax. I've been all around there. And I've been up to like the Yukon territory. And still hadn't been to Toronto. It's just I had no reason to go. But then we just took a long weekend and went. We were out in Washington, D.C., my girlfriend and I. And then we said, you know what? Let's swing by Toronto in September. Went to a Blue Jays game. It was fun.
Nice.
Did all touristy stuff. Went up to the big tower. I loved it. It had a real Chicago vibe to it, which
really?
I know is a bad thing to say in Wisconsin. But
we
I should
love
say
Chicago
I was born here. In Wisconsin. I was born in Wisconsin. I can
say you can say that. Yeah, so was Heather Graham, but
was she really?
Yeah, she was. It was her birthday yesterday. I had Brian Edding on to talk about Heather Graham because he did a movie with her. So I'm trying to do these little fun things where, like, if I know a weird tidbit or something, like on Jennifer Beals' birthday, I had Pete Moore on the show for a few minutes because he kissed her.
Oh, great!
In a play.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so Pete told us that story. So all these little stories, all this knowledge I have in my head, I gotta find a way to use it somehow. Mike, you know what? Okay, so we'll talk more when we come back. I want to ask you where the best place you've been is. So you just told us where we could find the travel. And then I want to talk to you about the Bodines concert we saw in Indianapolis.
Oh, my God.
And that night, which is one of the longest of my life. And we'll talk about that with Mike Siegel. This is Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap. Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. There are a lot.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose. Yeah. I mean,
we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
So, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwab. We're broadcasting statewide from City Deck Landing in Green Bay at our WGBW studios. Here are some texts we just got about Conrad's mom. I think I said that would do an around the world cruise from the 920. Jim from Appleton. I would go to Australia if money was not an issue. Well done. We'll ask Mike about that too. And then Conrad's mom, 920. If I could afford it, I would have to come back for work. Yeah, this is Paula. This is money is no object. So you guys can go wherever you want. And Jim, Mike, what do you tell Jim about Australia?
I just got back. I was there over the holidays. I was working on a cruise ship that dropped me off in Sydney on December 23rd. So I decided to stay there through the holidays. And my girlfriend flew out and she met me out there. So we stayed there through New Year's Eve, and it was great because New Year's Eve in Sydney is like world famous. You know, they blow off fireworks all over the Sydney Harbor and off the Sydney Harbor Bridge and everything else. And it's summer down there, so it's really warm. And, you know, Sydney is, and Australia in general, I mean, you're talking about a country that's, you know, it's the size of America in terms of land. I mean, it's huge. And whereas we have about 345 or whatever we're up to now.
Yeah.
They have like 25 million people. There's no one there. So wow. You see these amazing like beach towns and things like that, that in America would just be, you know, overrun with houses and condos and hotels. And it's still kind of small and chill. And it's great. You know, it's, yeah.
Now, is that affordable? Is that affordable? If someone wanted to move there, relocate, could they? Is it?
It's hard to immigrate there to relocate. They're very picky about who they let in. That's one of the reasons there's few people. They've been picky over the years about who they let in. So it's getting there is not easy. The best way to do it is to marry an Australian.
Okay.
Really, but no, it's a great place to live. It's just getting in. Really, it's a great place to visit too. And now the dollar, the U.S. dollar, goes a long way. We were getting about $1.50 Australian to one U.S. dollar, so that was great. And there's tipping, which, you know,
what a
relief that is. Yeah, oh, it's great.
So I could buy a sweater at the TJ Maxx in Australia, not have to tip the person working behind the counter. Wow, that's
exactly.
That's
and I never got cash. Everything's like touchless. Like on your card. Boop, boop, boop.
Very just, nice.
Yeah, I never had to get cash. And even the subways, you just tap your card.
All right, Jim, there you go. That's I think you should save for
the big thing is the flight. I mean, it's a hell of a flight, but once you get there, for anybody looking to travel and Americans, I would say that was my first solo trip in 96 was to Australia. And it's just easy because there's no language barrier. It's culturally, it's not that different from here.
Right.
You know, so it's easy to get around and it's just, and you just get, if you drive, just you're driving on the other side of the road. That's the only thing you got to remember.
Yeah. And you could get a Greyhound bus ticket there for like $120, which is pretty good.
That's how I got around the first time.
When you were there. Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
96. Not this time.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. So you've done stand up on cruises too. And one of the texts is Conrad's mom, who texts every night and she's awesome, said she would take a cruise. How is that, Mike? Let's transition from travel to comedy.
Okay.
Cruise ships are the perfect way to do it. How do you like working cruise ships?
Well, I've been doing them since about 2015, 2016, and they found me. There was an agent in Miami that saw me on Last Comic Standing on NBC.
Oh, yeah.
I was on the last season of that, and then he called me up, and he was like, hey, you ever think of doing cruises? And I was like, well, not till I was 70, you know, because traditionally that was the way it worked, you know. That was kind of like the end of your career, but they've kind of changed in that. I mean, there's a lot more comedy on the ships now. There's a lot less club work, and the money in the clubs hasn't really gone up.
Is that crazy?
Since we started 30 years ago.
That is insane.
Yeah. And so I gave it a shot. And as someone who likes travel, it's certainly not for everybody. I mean, I'm not a cruise person in my personal life.
Right.
I just like a little more control over my vacation. And it's just, they're great if you don't want to think or do anything. Do any of the planning yourself. It's just, and I get some people like that. And my friends with kids really like them too. Like little kids, you could just kind of like turn them loose and then
throw them overboard.
Kids department. Yeah. And you know, the big thing is never having to pay for food for the kids and stuff like that. I mean, that's huge. So they can't really get in too much trouble on the
I don't know if I would like that. I feel like it would be kind of a
It ain't for everybody. Yeah. And for comedy, it's a big switch because you had to be. Now I don't do like Carnival, which I guess they have a dedicated comedy club where you work with a couple other acts, and they can be pretty loose with the subject matter and language. But on the ones I've been doing, you know, you got to be pretty squeaky. There's no, you know, politics. There's no swearing. There's no
sexual
stuff. And well, if you're used to clubs, and I mean, there's rules.
How about sex, folks? What do you guys think about sex? Anybody here like sex?
And a lot of guys don't like it.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of the shows would be all ages. So, I mean, that's the hardest thing. You get like an 80-year-old sitting next to a 10-year-old
and
everything in between. And it's like, well, somebody's going to be disappointed here. Probably both of you.
I love the story. And this happened to someone we know. We won't say the name, obviously. But if you bomb on a cruise ship, man, there is nowhere to go. And he did not do well. In fact, the audience hated him so much so the cruise line chartered a helicopter to come and take him to take him off the ship so that the people on the ship didn't have to see him. So I thought you heard that story.
No, I've been there with guys. They've let them off at the next port where they were supposed to be on for like a second week. And they're just like, you know, we're good. You can leave.
Why don't you rent a bike and
get that happened to a good friend of ours. I'll tell you after.
Yeah, please.
But so to helicopter someone off is expensive. So they must have hated them.
They could have sunk the whole business. How'd the ship go? Well, they're out of business now. So not too well. So you and I, Mike, and we went to a Bodine's concert, great Wisconsin band, in Indianapolis.
Yes, we did. One of your favorite bands at that time.
Yeah. Still are. They're great. I love the Bodines. You know what? I'm going to put a pin in this. And then I want to ask you about Wiffle Ball.
Okay.
Just some of our fun LA fun. It was great. We had so much fun. But back in the day when we worked Wisconsin a lot at stand-ups, we did take a little road trip to Indianapolis, and we'll talk about that next. He's Mike Siegel. He's the host of If Walls Could Talk and What You Get for the Money and Movie Break and all kinds of stuff. And the Travel Tales podcast. This is Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Word up, talk, talk, just move right up the wall. There are night, skies are light, so we dance to the break down. Hey. Ladies and gentlemen, I got the medicine, so you should keep your eyes on the ball. This is getting heavy. Can you hear the bass? Boom, I'm ready. Woo-hoo. Life is chilling, honey. Yeah, this bitch is chilling like money.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Alba. At noon on Wednesday, it's Trigby Olsen, Pat Kreitlow, and a big Taylor Swiftie show. Why are MAGA folks so upset? Join us at noon.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on 93.5 The Tap and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News.